Appreciate that. Appreciate Miss Caitlin so much. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tonight. Be still, my soul. I say that a lot on 35. And everybody thinks I said be still, and they just don't move. Amen. What a great song. Great song. I think a lot of our singers just need to make CDs so we can listen to them all the time. We are so spoiled here. I have a preacher friend of mine over in Boyd, Brother Terry, he has no piano player. We have like eight. And he asked if we could share one of them. We said no. So he's the special music. Trust me, it's bad. Share one of those. Nope, sorry, you got to get your own. We worked hard for the ones we had. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verses 1 through 13 tonight. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Verse 2, 1 Corinthians 10, 2 says, "And we were all baptized unto Moses into the cloud and into the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, and drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Jesus." We sing that song. "This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one." That's where it comes from. Verse 5 says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they had also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. It says, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in the day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents." That's where we get the other song, right? Remember where Moses lifted up the serpent and look and live, my brother live. That's where he lifted up that serpent. If you look at it, and you'll live, and not, you die. A lot of them died that day. But look at verse 10. It says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." Isn't it amazing it puts murmuring amongst all these other big things? And notice what else he says. He says, "Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples." In other words, to give us a model, that word in samples means, it means more than just samples or an example. It means to model. It means that God put those things there and God allowed those things to happen into the children of Israel's lives so that we today could learn from it. And he keeps on saying, he says these things happen for examples. They were written for our admonition, our exaltation of our lives. And he says, "Upon whom's ends of the worlds are come." In other words, they're done, but here we are, right? He says, verse 12, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." And verse 13, you know this verse very well. It says, "There have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Let's pray, and then we'll preach a sermon this evening. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night, God, that you've given us. Thank you for your grace and mercy to us. And Lord, I certainly need your help tonight. Lord, this is nothing that I want to say to your folks. It's something you want to say. It's something you want to give us tonight. And I thank you for preaching to me first. And I just ask you to help me, God. Just help me to be a servant tonight and just a voice for you. I yield myself to you, to the Holy Spirit, to your word and your will tonight. And ask that you to just help us, God, not to leave this place the same as we came in. We draw closer to you and draw further away from things in our life that are not pleasing to you. Lord, I love you tonight and ask you to help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm preaching on the subject, not a great sermon title, but learning from losers. You know, sometimes in life you study people who are winners. And sometimes you study people who are losers. How did they lose? How did these people lose? Well, the children of Israel were a great illustration of losers and how they lost. As a matter of fact, most of them died under from only those that were 20 and under were saved other than Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them died in the wilderness. We know there was 24,000 that died in one day in the Bible. So there was a lot of, really the wilderness was nothing but a graveyard. with those who did not obey God, those who did not trust God and what He was doing in their lives. And we need to learn from them. We need to learn that just because God has brought us all out and just because we're saved tonight does not exempt us from some things in this life. God, it allows us to go through temptation. God allows us to go through these things in our life just because He has to allow it. And of course, He doesn't want us to be robots, obviously. And that's, you know, it'd be nice if we were robots, didn't have to eat and all those things, but we're not. We're human beings that God has made us. But Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and of course, you know, 1st and 2nd Corinthians is the book of corrections. They had a lot of wrong ideology that in these days, remember, Judaism and Christianity was trying to be mixed together. In other words, it was, yes, you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and you believe the gospel, but also we need to do something. And if you study chapter 9, chapter 8, you'll see that they were taking the Lord's Supper in vain, and they were eating the bread that was meant for a sacrifice and all that. They were just doing some weird things because, you ever meet Christians, by the way, just let me time out here. You ever meet Christians who are people that are saved, not necessarily Christians, but people that are saved, and they feel like they gotta work their way to heaven, or they gotta light a candle for somebody, or I mean, just weird things in order to gain favor with God. That's not found in our Bible. And what is found is that we to draw close to God and God to draw close to us tonight. I want you to look at some things. I'll give you four things as we look at these. And God wants us to learn from these losers tonight. And you ever been a loser? Yeah. You remember the show, The Greatest Loser, or the whatever the show was? The Biggest Loser? Yeah. I feel like that sometimes, don't you? I mean, don't you just feel like... And you know what we do when we feel like losers? We should go back and say, how did I get there? Well, that's what we're going to do in the scripture tonight. I want you to notice, number one tonight, about this and how can we learn from these losers. Number one, I want you to notice that we all start on the same starting line. We all have the same starting line. In verses 1 through 4, I want you to notice just kind of what he's saying. He said that they, look at the wording of the scripture here. It says in verse 1, notice that first all, he says how that all our fathers were under the cloud. And notice the next one, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses into the cloud and sea. In other words, that cloud and that waters, when they went and Moses laid that rod out like that, the waters went back, and that they were surrounded by that Shekinah cloud of God, of the glory cloud of God, and the sea was rose up on every side, and it says they were baptized. No, they were immersed with God's miracles, but still didn't obey Him. And by the way, that word says unto Moses, it just simply means that they were going to identify with Moses and not with Pharaoh anymore. When they passed through that Red Sea, they were saying they were accepting the gift of a Savior, a little S, Savior of Moses, and they were identifying with Him, and they were obeying Him, and they were trusting that Moses was the sent one from God that was going to rescue them, and all they had to do was follow Him. All they had to do is accept that, and they go through. And it's not about salvation necessarily. It's about that. Here's the thing. We identify with Christ through the baptistry today by being immersed in that. But they all had the same start. Notice what else he said in verse 3. He says, did all eat the same spiritual meat. What does that mean? Remember when manna fell from heaven? By the way, it was for everybody. Aren't you glad God's gift of salvation, God's grace is for everybody? It don't matter, it just falls and you have to accept it. Notice what else he says. He talks about the spiritual meat. Also, he said they all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock, that capital R rock, that followed them. Aren't you glad God was with them all the way? But they missed it. Notice what it says at the end of that verse. And that rock was Christ. In other words, that water that was flowing out of these rocks, Jesus was providing a spiritual nourishment for them. When they were hungry, God fed them. When they were thirsty, God gave them water to drink. Why? Because He loves them. And by the way, here's what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth. Everybody starts the Christian journey on the same level. And you've heard this 100 times, but the foot of the cross is level. When you get saved, you are saved just as much as I am and just as much as the next guy is. We're all on the same level. And that's what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth. Listen, you may think you're better than everybody else, but you're not. Because he ends the whole thing, we're saying, verse 12, he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he what? Lest he fall. You know, God's economy is different than ours. God says the last shall be first and the weak shall be strong. That makes no sense. If you went into a gym today and says, look, the weaker you are, the stronger you're going to be. They would be like, get him out of here, he's crazy. But in God's economy, that's the way it is. Why? Because we all start on the same level, that we all start in the place where God wants us to be used. But I want you to notice, not only do we have the same starting line, but number two, I want you to notice in verses 5 through 10, we have the same sense. See, if we're going to learn from those in the past, we got to learn that we all start in the same place and that we all have the same temptations. The temptations of today are the same temptations that the children of Israel had in the wilderness. The problem is today we have television and phones and things like that. It's just more readily available. But temptations are everywhere we go. Why is that? Because Satan walks around, and by the way, God doesn't send temptations. God allows them, but he doesn't send them. The Bible says God cannot tempt any man. And not to do evil. So Satan goes about this world setting up roadblocks in our life, and it's as if he works for TxDOT. Can I get a witness? I mean, every road around here has construction on it, except for 156, and they'll start that in 20 years from now. After it gets so bad, we just sit in traffic, just go, this is it, we can't move. We all get out and leave our cars and just walk home. That's going to happen one day. It's about there now. I don't mean to bring up traffic, but it's on my head. When I look out my office door and it's backed up over the railroad tracks over there. But we have the same sins. Notice what he says in verse 5. Verse 5, he says, now we need to learn from this. He says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Why was he not? Let's learn why he was not well pleased with them. Well, we'll look at what the Bible says. He says this. He says, verse 5, he says, many of them, not, they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these are examples for us, right? Examples. Let me find, I lost place. Yes. So he said that they were examples for us. Why? To the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. They lusted after those things. Matter of fact, if you go back and you read in Numbers chapter 11, and you can look this up later, but in Numbers chapter 11, it's a great little chapter. It basically says they lusted after the things of Egypt. God had brought them out of Egypt, had put them into the wilderness, and was going to teach them some lessons and try to get Egypt out of them. And when they got to the other side, they crossed over the Red Sea. By the way, remember the miracles they saw in the plagues before they left Egypt. And remember when, I don't know about you, but if I saw a Red Sea open up about a mile, I'd say, God's good. But you know what happened when they got to the other side? And we're going to talk about murmuring and complaining here in a minute. I want to get ahead of myself, but God, why don't you bring us over here? And if you read Numbers chapter 11, they said, would to God, we're back in Egypt. We love the leeks. And we had stuff we love, and they lusted after those things. Now, we can lust after anything in this life, but let me tell you, is that if you want to be a loser tonight, you will be attracted to the things of this world. Notice what it tells us. It says it lusted after what? Evil things. When's the last time you lusted after God in the Bible? And prayer. Something you can't live without, that's drawing you, that's soliciting you, that pulling of you. Now notice what else he says. Not only was there temptation, but notice the verse 7, what he says. He says, neither be ye idolaters. As some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, you can go back over in Exodus chapter 32 and Numbers chapter 25 and read what that exactly means. I'm not going to tell you tonight what it is. That's for your own study, and I'll leave you hanging with that. But let me tell you that they pulled away from God to worship idols. You know, I thought of this. You might want to remember this thought. An idol is a distraction from God. An idol is a distraction from God that Satan puts in our life. If Satan could put anything in our life, listen, why in the world does anybody want to worship a Baal or a Muhammad or a Pope or somebody like that? Why in the world? Because Satan wants to distract them away from a holy God. He hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, 1 Corinthians tells us, right? How does he do that? He puts things in front of us. Why? Because it's in every one of us to worship something. I mean, you know, it would be silly tonight if we came in here and said, oh, let us worship little water bottle. We can't afford big ones around here. If y'all could give more, we could get bigger bottles of water. But wouldn't that be ridiculous? I may have told y'all this story, but we had a missionary one time, and this is the truth of my hand up. He was a missionary in Mexico, and he said that they were out in the bush of Mexico just witnessing, and came across the 57 Chevy with a Coke bottle on front of it that they worshiped. He said there were so many candles and flowers around this 57. He said it wasn't even a complete 57 Chevy, which 57 Chevy is pretty nice. A Mexico Coke is good. I love it. Right? Amen. It's got real sugar in it. But listen, they were worshiping that. Why? Because it's in everybody to worship something. Idolatry, it was so rampant in this time. And that's what was happening to the church at Corinth. They were being pulled away from Jesus Christ, whom had saved them, and going back to serve their idols. And by the way, their idols were very, you have to study what they were. But I mean, it was trying to draw them away from Jesus Christ. And if we're not careful tonight, we can be careful. It may not be necessarily an object that we worship, but we all have to be careful with idolatry in our life. And then notice verse 8, what he says. He talks about neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in the day 320,000. And you say, what does that mean? Well, here's what happened, is that some of the idols that they were worshiping called for the act of fornication, and they were being drawn away from their own wives, and they were being drawn away from their own spouses, and drawn into this worship of certain gods that wanted this to happen. But listen, here's what happened, is that God wants us to love Him. And when we draw our attention to idols and things of this world, the Bible tells it, basically, he says, we go whoring after other gods. Let us be faithful to Him and to each other. But notice verse 9. This one just gets me. It says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Now, if you go over into Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 6, let me just read it to you. It says, and they journeyed from Mount Horeb by the way of the Red Sea to the compass the land of Edom, and the souls of many people were discouraged because of the way. Bless their hearts. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought up us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. They're lying. God gave them bread. God gave them water. Bunch of liars. And it says, and our soul longed for light bread. They wanted diet bread even back in those days. Weird people. And the Lord sent fiery serpents upon the people, and they bite the people, and much people of Israel died. Well, why? Because they tempted God. In other words, God, why are you doing this to me? Listen, I don't know about you, but there's one person in this world I don't want to tempt. It's God. I want to praise God. I want to thank God. I want to worship God. I don't want to tempt Him and say, God, I bet you won't do this. Oh, you better be careful what you say. By the way, I want you to notice one thing about some of these sins. Death followed it. Let me remind you, as a Christian, God made you and He can take you. You say, I don't think He can do that. Well, read the next chapter. It talks about communion. It says if a person takes of communion unworthily, guess what happens? God can take you out. He says, that's why many are sick and sleep among you. He's not talking about, that is a Baptist church, but He's talking about dead, right? I'm not saying God's going to kill you, not, and God doesn't want to kill us tonight, but I just want to tell you, be careful. People ask me the question all the time, well, what does it really mean in Revelation when it says that if you take away or add to the Word of God, God will take your name out of the book of life? Don't care. I ain't going to mess with God's Word to find out. Well, can God really take our names out? He can do anything. Don't try Him. Don't make Him mad. Amen. be careful around God. We ought to walk circumspectly is what the Bible says. In other words, cautiously and be reverent toward God. And then in verse 10, notice this one. It says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. God gave them up. Why? Because they murmured against God You can read that in Numbers chapter 11, 14, and 16. Listen tonight, I don't know about you, but there's times I'm a murmurer. Don't leave me hanging up here, you bunch of hypocrites. Listen, we've all been losers at the game of Christianity, or at the race of Christianity. And one thing we can say is, and we better be careful about it. I know as Christians sometimes we're, why do they get away with that? Hello? You know, you look at this world sometimes and we don't know what's fair and what's not because we're not God. I don't understand why some people get sick and some people don't. I don't understand why some people die and some people don't. I don't understand. Because we all say, even when this Athena thing, strand thing happened, you're thinking, why did God just not kill him? I don't know. He's not me, and I'm not him. Be thankful, because I'd strike a lot of people dead. That's all I do all day long. Is you made me, and then I'd have to kill myself because I get on my own nerves. God, you know, God's looking down on us, going, you don't see the big picture. And God's working, and we ought to be careful with our murmuring. But I want you to go back to verse 4, and I want to show you, not only do we all have the same starting line, do we have the same sins as these losers do, but we have the same Savior. Notice verse 4, and I've already given it to you, but it said that rock was Christ. That rock was Jesus Christ in the wilderness. When the time that they murmured, and the times that they were hungry, and the times that they were thirsty, Jesus was right there with him. Why? Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm right there, though you may not see me, though you may not hear me. Listen, we don't see the wind, and we don't sometimes hear the wind, but we see the effects of it. Listen, I know there's a God because I see the effects of him in my life. I'm not what I used to be before I got saved. I'm not what I used to be 10 years ago. And by the way, if you look at your life, you'll see the effects of God in your life. Why? Because we serve the same Savior as Paul did. We serve the same Savior as Peter does. And what he did in their life, he can do the very same in your life. Will there ever be a Billy Sunday or a D.L. Moody or a Spurgeon? Could be. Why? Because there's the same Holy Spirit, the same Savior we serve. So tonight, Jesus was with them all the way. Can I just remind you, we have more of a responsibility than they even had. You know why? Because we have a completed Word of God. We have a Holy Spirit that indwells us. We have all kind of avenues that God has given us to read His Word and to study His Word. But we have the same Savior. But I want you to look at verse 4. This is really where I want to get to tonight. Talking about learning from losers, number 4, I want you to notice we have the same solution as they had. I want you to notice verse 13. And by the way, tonight I'm not going to try to make you mad by interpreting this verse for you. I think the way that it normally is interpreted could be a way. But if you read this verse in context, it's not talking about trials that you go through and burdens that you carry. It's talking about temptations. 3 times in this verse, it uses the word temptation, temptation, and tempted. It's not talking about trials and testings. Sometimes people say, you know, I know the Lord won't put on me no more than He can bear. And I agree with that. But in this context, He's talking about temptations. In other words, God knows that we're going to walk through this world, and here's that billboard of this temptation, here's this sign of temptation, here's this television show of temptation, here's this, but here's what God's going to do. You know, if there was a fire in here right now, there are 5 exits, 6 if you can jump through the baptistry. Thank you for flying, Heritage. We have an exit here, 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 and here. And if you're a good jumper, you can go through there. There has to be an exit. And sometimes we are overcome with temptation. Why? Because, not because God didn't give us no more. No, because He gave you an exit and you didn't take it. Read the verse. He says, there have no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. Aren't you glad He's faithful? He's going to be there with you. He's going to walk through it with you. He's going to be with you. And He says, God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. How can I bear this world of temptation? How? Listen, if you are a lover of Hershey chocolates, don't go to Hershey, Pennsylvania. If you're an alcoholic, don't go to a bar. Hello? If you're trying to give up smoking, don't go to the vape shop. Oh, I thought this was the donut shop. If you're addicted to donuts, don't go to the donut shop. In other words, God makes a way of escape. Listen, when we live in this world, temptations are all over today. And especially the ones that I mentioned tonight. Listen, I don't want to live like a loser. I want to live like a Christian. I want to live because God is faithful, that He will be there with me when these temptations come, when these things come. And listen, they come fast sometimes. But as they come, listen, there's always an exit sign. And I don't believe it's an obscure exit. You ever been in those escape rooms? You know, sometimes they have the door, and then sometimes they have an obscure door. You got to find the right little, you know, and the, you know. That's not the way God works. Listen, I say this all the time. In the Garden of Eden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil wasn't some obscure tree hidden over in the background, and God said, I don't touch that. It was a tree that they know was the tree of good and evil. God showed it to them. The fruit of it was different than any fruit. Read it in Genesis chapter 3. It was different than any other tree. I believe there was a forest full of goodness and greatness, but there was one tree. Listen, sometimes in life, we better choose the best thing, and sometimes the best thing and the right thing is to exit. I'll introduce you to a man called Joseph. Remember, Joseph goes to Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife goes, how you doing? She was Italian. Y'all didn't know that. And the Bible says, because there's children in here, he ran. Hello, he ran and left everything behind. You want to know why? Because God gave him an exit strategy. Now, God allowed him to go into the temptation, but listen, even our Savior, Matthew chapter 4, was tempted. How was he tempted? By the devil when he went up. But there was an exit strategy. What was it? The Word of God. And he used the Word of God. Not that he could be tempted, but I'm telling you that he gave us an example that we have the same solution that the children of Israel. When you read the verses of the children of Israel, it says that that they were tempted in the day of their wilderness wanderings, or it wasn't a wandering. They knew where they were going because God was leading them. It tells us that they didn't believe God. They didn't trust God. They murmured against God. But God said, I got a way out. You want to know how it is? Just follow Moses. Just follow the cloud. I provided everything for you. Tonight, I don't know about you, but we have the same solution that everybody else has. We may go through the... And look at what he says. He says, there have no temptation taking you, but such is what? Common to man. Listen, the same things you face are the same things I face. You realize as a preacher, I don't get no special favor with God. Sometimes I think he's madder at us. No, just kidding. That's not even a word. Is it madder? I don't know. He's more angry with us. No, he's not. But, you know, we face the same temptations y'all do because they're all around. Can I just remind you tonight is that whenever temptation comes and God gives you an exit door, take it. Notice what he says in verse 14. I think it's kind of just, he reminds him, he says, now you'll be able to bear it. And then notice what his exit strategy is. Here it is. Verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee idolatry. Flee from idolatry. You know what else he says? He says in 1 Corinthians 6, 18, flee fornication. You know what he says in 2 Timothy 2, 2? Flee also youthful lust. Get out of there. You know one thing the Jewish people did not do? They did not run. They had a dress on. If they wanted to run, they'd have to take their skirts and had to pull it up like that and almost ride it like an old pony, stick pony. But they were not known for running. And can I just say that to be standing out in front of Pharaoh's house and see that front door open and Joseph come running out, hello, like, uh-oh, something bad happened there. You know my problem? I don't like running. I think running, as long as there's bicycles and motorcycles and cars, you should not be running unless something's chasing you. No, I'm too fat to run. But now you see, when we get to the point where we get in those situations where we're tempted, we have the same solution as they have, and as the Christians before us, as the saints before us have, They have the flee. Let us learn tonight that we should flee, that we should, I want to be a winner, don't you? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 just real quick and I'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to look at verse 13 if you will. Notice this. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, and for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as so by fire. Can I say one day, all the things that we do in this life are going to be loss. But everything we do for Christ will be gain. You say, why do you say that? Because if we are stuck in the house of temptation and we don't get out, we can never be used of God to do His work. Because why? We're stuck in a house. And I know we have some firefighters and things in here. If you've ever been in a house fire before, there is not a feeling like that ever. I get claustrophobic, and I've found out through training here lately, I'm very claustrophobic, more than I've ever been. Could be because I'm older and fatter. But I had to do some training not too long ago, and I put all my gear on. I had to go into this little thing, and I made it out really quick because I don't like confined spaces. You know, the first thing we're taught to do when you go, of course, if you're looking for victims and things like that, but know where your exit is. We had to do some training one time and put you in this house, and you find a room, you're searching a room, and then fire breaks out at the doorway of that room. Fire is behind you. What do? They train you to go through a wall. Why? Because I got to get out of that room. I will die in that room. Listen, child of God, you may be in that room of temptation or that house of temptation, but can I say there's an exit? And maybe the temptation of this year is, I'm not going to read my Bible. Maybe the temptation of this year is, I'm not going to pray. Usually around this time of year, we don't say that. We set these goals and we want to do these goals. Maybe the temptation is to go back to your old life. Maybe the temptation, listen, we all face this. Maybe it's just say, you know what? I'm just tired of this. I just want to do this. I just want to walk away from it all. Maybe the temptation is something that's drawing you, that's pulling you. Let me remind you, God's put an exit. Flee. Get out of there. Run. Just run. You ever been around people? I won't name any names, but I'll give her initials, DW. I married her, but I won't give her name. If there's a spider in our house anywhere, if there's a spider near, my wife has the flight, the flee. Get out of there. She will knock you over, the children over, the dogs over to get out of there. The other day I was standing at the sink. I just sprayed the house and I was standing at the sink and all of a sudden the spider just goes. I'm not scared of spiders, but that one scared me. I sprayed him with hairspray. His hair looked amazing. And then I washed him down my sink and I was like, he's probably still down there. I flushed it with hot water. I was putting everything I could down there. I was like, ah. But you know what? It's not in my nature when I see things like that to run because I'm not that scared of it. But you put a mouse in front of me, I hate mice. I will run. I'm out of there. I will leave my children. I'll leave women, children, anybody. You deal with it. But you know what? Sometimes when sin comes, I don't run. I'm intrigued, right? When you're enticed, you're drawn away of your own lusts. Listen, we need to flee. Listen, we can learn from these losers tonight, right? We can learn from those that fell in the wilderness. How what do we do? We have the same solution. Get out of there. Just get out of there. It's very simple tonight. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll have a time of invitation. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night, Lord. And Lord, thank you for just speaking to me tonight. Thank you for your grace for us. And Lord, thank you for the way of escape. Lord, when these things come in our life, and Lord, whether it be idolatry, murmuring, fornication, or just not having faith in you, Lord, God, we're wanting to be drawn away of these things, and Lord, you said you made a way of escape. Lord, help us to take that tonight. Lord, help us tonight that when we're faced with these trials, just to know that you're there. All these temptations, that you're there. You said you're right there with us, Lord. And so, God, help us. Thank you for being faithful in our lives. Bless this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, draw me near.